This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight, we have three beers from the pale side and three beers from the dark side. A pale ale, an IPA, and a double IPA in the first half, and then the second half's all stouts. We got a caramel stout and two imperial stouts to try from all across the country. No beers tonight from California. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Steve Williamson, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, guys. Episode number 69.
Woo!
Can you believe that we've been here this many times? Fantastic. Let's get into the first beer of the night. We have from Toppling Goliath Brewing Company in Decorah, Iowa. This is their X Hops series, Gold Pale Ale.
I've been looking forward to this. I mean, they make Pseudo Sioux, which is considered top five, at least top 10 pale ales in the country by most people. So this is, you know, going to be good, I imagine.
This is a nice bright yellow color, kind of a thin white head, pretty big bubbles on there, and it's slightly cloudy, not super cloudy.
Yeah, I think it sounds a little weird to say I like the color of this beer, but I do. It looks very appealing to me. I don't know. It's like it's the perfect amount of haziness and brightness. And
the aroma is appealing to me. It's pretty hop forward, very citrus, lemon, even like a little bit of like soapy, fresh soapy type of hop smell.
I feel like I get a little bit of honey too.
I get that also.
I was going to say pineapple. I mean, there's a lot of very unique fruit flavors in this aroma.
Definitely smells like it'd be something that's going to be juicy.
I'd say there's a little bit juice characteristic to the taste, but it has a nice dry finish to it.
Yeah, this is very fruit forward. You get a lot of the citrus, I guess. I wouldn't say tropical, but a little bit of lemon, orange, grapefruit. And grapefruit is bordering on tropical, but I had a really tropical beer earlier today, and this doesn't, you know, it's not going to mango or passion fruit. So,
yeah, I think you said it well with the grapefruit. That's like the most apparent taste that I have. But when you have a grapefruit IPA, it's like overpowering. This one is just very slight and pleasant. I would say this is a fantastic beer. I really like the mouth taste and the carbonation, and I think what you said, it finishes quick. It doesn't last a real long time with the hoppiness.
No, and there is a slight bitterness, but it's not super bitter.
I agree with Joel. I think it's really enjoyable. Like you guys said, there's a lot of citrus there, and the next word that I would use to describe it, it's pretty balanced. It's bitter, but it also has a sweetness that helps kind of take that bitterness away, or balance it at least. And it, like Steve said, I think it finishes a little bit dry, which is nice.
That's where the grapefruit comparison really rings home for me, is that I don't know any grapefruit eaters here regularly, but when you eat a grapefruit, it's that sweet up front, and then it finishes bitter, and it just kind of leaves that little bit of bitter aftertaste to you, but nothing that is intolerable.
Word.
And it's a great comparison.
A couple things I think with this beer. Obviously, for a pale ale, I think this is really hoppy and fruity and juicy. You almost think this is an IPA. It's only 5.3%, but it has the flavor profile of an IPA. Something else I noticed, I agree with Britton, it is pretty balanced. And this like this malt backbone of this like cereal grain malt, like, you know, sometimes malts are too sweet. It's not sweet at all. It's like cereal that really supports and I think enhances those hop flavors that we're all getting.
And I say 5.3% because I got that from online, but the bottle doesn't have it written on it. So
it seems stronger to me. Just drinking it.
Must not be required in Iowa.
I wouldn't think it was 5.3.
Yeah, I don't think I would think it was 5.3 either.
No, it doesn't taste boozy or anything, but I'd say 6.5 or something, but it's not boozy by any means.
I agree with Jeff, too. I think it is actually a fairly hoppy beer, but I like it.
Britt and I are turning a corner.
I know, right? Are we just getting used to it? What's the deal?
So this is a pretty hoppy pale. Coming up, we're going to have an IPA and then a double IPA. So we're going to keep ramping up the paleness.
Climbing that hop ladder.
Climb the hop ladder. But before we do that, let's talk about the interesting beers we had this week.
So I had one interesting beer this week, and that's the only interesting beer I had this week because it's the only beer I could get this week. I had Belican in Belize, and that's the only beer you can get there. So I had about 50 of them.
And at least.
After a while, they all just kind of taste like water. And Belican is it's somewhere between a Corona and a Budweiser. They were mixed together. And then, you know, after 50 of them, you know, they don't finish great. But we drank a lot of them because we were in Belize. So that's all I got to say about interesting beer.
Like when we first had them, we thought we were like, oh, this is pretty good. Like it's an easy drinker, right? Like there's nothing offensive about it. It's just very like run of the mill beer. But after you've been drinking it for 8 days, like Joel and I would just look at each other and be like, we are so sick of this beer. There's like nothing else to drink.
And good Lord, don't let it get warm.
Oh no. I had an interesting beer too. I had a new offering from Einstock Ulgert and out of Akureyri. Their Icelandic Wee Heavy is excellent and at 8.0%. Enjoyed them.
Nice.
It's brewed with Angelica root. I don't even know what that is, but the beer tastes great.
Sounds like it could be a strange brew.
Might be. It's good.
Jeff, what have you been drinking?
Well, I had one really interesting beer, and I don't know if you remember this, Dallas, but
probably not.
When we were in the Northeast last year, I picked up a bottle from Smutty Nose in New Hampshire of a beer that's called the Really Old Brown Dog, and it's an old ale, and the particular one that I got was from 2012, which was really unique because it's probably the most aged beer I've ever had in my life, and it was excellent. Like I this beer was 5 years old. It aged really well. It was super smooth. It wasn't barrel aged, but it really tasted like a barrel aged beer. It tasted like a barley wine. Pretty high alcohol, but really smooth. All these complex flavors. So I'm glad I brought that back and finally opened it this week, and it was really, really delicious.
Did that have any of its carbonation left, or did it was not really that style?
I don't remember noticing lack of carbonation.
Yeah.
It has that sort of warming feeling, like the I guess it was probably lower carbonation, but it wasn't in a bad way. It kind of had that like slick, like syrupy taste, but in a very nice, creamy texture to it. I mean, it's definitely like a sipping beer. It was, I think it was like 10% alcohol, but tasted like it was 15%. And it's just one of those beers that really like gets better if you can let it sit there for several years.
Nice.
So real quick, I'll tell you about one I had. I have to mention it. Somebody was at the bar and they had brought in a crowler from a brewery in Portland called Great Notion. And the beer was called Blueberry Muffin. And it was as much as a beer can be tasting like a blueberry muffin than you can possibly imagine. It was...
Sounds amazing.
It was so...
Yeah, it does.
Spot on. It was ridiculous. Like they had blended up a blueberry muffin and put it into their beer. But it was a kind of a hazy golden color. It smelled like a blueberry muffin right out of the oven, which is odd. And then it was such a creamy beer and well balanced, and like the sourness of the blueberry and like the sugar, and then the kind of the bready muffin like maltiness. It was perfect. It was really a outstanding beer. I can't wait to go to Portland because I have to go to this place. Never had the beer before, but somebody, I just happened across it and got to try it. So I'm looking forward to seeing more from that brewery.
This crowler, did this person bring it back on a plane or did they drive back? Do you know? Because these are like, you know, we travel a lot for our beercations and cans are easier to bring back. Bottles, you know, you can do it. I'm just wondering how that held up in terms of if they flew or drove back or how it got back to California.
I don't know. I didn't ask.
But our listeners in Portland should send us some and we'll send them some pint glasses back in return. Email Beer of the Day and you'll get the shipping address.
Hey, that's a good idea. All right, let's get into the next beer. We have from Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn, Massachusetts, Steal This Can IPA. I wonder how much of a crime issue they've created by basically allowing people to...
Imploring people to steal their can?
I'm pretty sure you can't get in trouble for that, right?
I mean, it says so right on the can.
Stone has enjoy, buy, whatever. I do it, right? This is steal this can. I do it.
I just have to say that Lord Hobo has to be one of the best brewery names I've ever heard. I just like it.
It's a cool place. We went there on the same trip last year. They have two locations in Boston. Dal, where'd we get this one from? Is this from Tavor?
This was from Tavor. Tavor, they seem to feature Lord Hobo beers a lot. I think there's three different ones out in the vault right now. Very consistently good. This one here is a light straw color, thin white head, but much smaller bubbles than the last beer. Just a couple of little bubbles floating up of noticeable carbonation, and then quite a bit of haze we're dealing with here.
Does anybody think it smells almost exactly like the last beer we just had?
Yeah, but less fruity smelling.
I'm getting almost no aroma off of it at all. I'm trying real hard to pick something out, and it just kind of, I'm not getting any aroma.
I get a lot of aroma.
I get too.
Like some floral, like a floral. I think somebody said with the last beer, like a soapy-ness to it. But it's a positive thing. It's like this floral citrus in the aroma. I think it actually has a lot of aroma.
I think less than the last beer, though.
I think quite a bit less. I could see like some wildflower, like a field of flowers kind of smell, but I'm not getting the fruit and the citrus that we got off the last beer.
Really light color. I mean, like Dallas said, I mean, it's like a hazy, pale yellow, pretty light colored for an IPA. But I got a pretty thick head with a lot of lacing on the glass, which I like.
So this beer is very similar to the last beer we had in taste, in my opinion, except for it finishes more like sweet and more like syrupy tasting, but in a good way. It's not like super syrupy. It just has a lot longer lasting syrup or sweet flavor to it compared to the last beer. But it reminds me a lot of the last one we had.
I think this one is a little bit more, I'm tasting a lot more malt. Than the last one, like the hops are there too, but I think it's a little bit more malty than the last beer that we had. And the other thing that I noticed is I'm getting like an ever so slight metallic or like tin type flavor to it. Not in a bad way. It's very subtle, but it's there.
It is there. Now this beer has been in the fridge a little bit longer than we care to keep it. So that could have something to do with that. This beer I am getting... The last beer was very fruit forward, citrus, yeah. All those grapefruit. This one here is more like a beer to me. Like it's hops, little pine, little citrus hops, paired with a lot more, a bigger malt backbone on this beer. And then the aftertaste is, you know, it lingers on quite a bit. I think the aftertaste on the previous beer was more abbreviated.
Yeah. I definitely agree with the, like, there's pine to it, but I do get some citrus. I get mostly lemon, though. Like, the last beer had grapefruit. I get a lot of this, like, slightly acidic lemon, and it's sort of that, a little bit that metallic flavor that you guys were getting, but it's really clean at the same time. Like, the finish is clean and crisp, and it's a pretty light-bodied beer, again, for an IPA. This is a pretty easy drinking, light, refreshing IPA, and I get a lot of that lemon citrus flavor.
I was going to say that too. I think that it has a fairly light mouthfeel even. It doesn't sit real heavy on your tongue.
No, yeah. And at least a percent more than the previous beer, I don't, it doesn't seem any more heavy than the previous one.
No.
I don't know. I'm getting a little bit different. I do think it's a lot sweeter than the last one. So maybe that's where maybe my taste is just a little bit different, where the other one had so much upfront fruit and hoppiness to it. This one is just coming off a lot more sweeter to me.
For me, this one is almost completely lacking sweetness, in my opinion. I get just, it's bitter to me. I like that you guys said metallic and the pine. I get some of the earth tones are there. I'm trying to find sweetness and I'm not finding it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. It's not juicy. I mean, it's not juicy or fruity. It's like a floral. I mean, I said the lemon. And that's not juicy to me. It's a different type of hops than we're used to in IPAs.
I wouldn't say it's not sweet, but I wouldn't characterize it as sweet, but I'm trying to figure out, like, is it just less balanced than the last one? Cause the last one was pretty balanced, or yeah, I don't know how to describe it. I'm not doing a good job.
Epic fail.
Fail.
And now, the beer news of the day. Well, it's been 25 years since the first Sublime album, 40 Ounces to Freedom, and they've decided to celebrate this with the release of a Mexican-style lager in 40-ounce cans that are going to be produced by Alesmith in San Diego. And so that's going to be out soon.
Nice. I will look for that.
Makes me feel really old.
40-ounce bottles. And then
wow, that's a big bottle.
There's also going to be 12-ounce six-packs through Alesmith's supply chain.
But you have to drink them out of a paper bag.
While listening to Sublime.
Yeah, and we're recording this on April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day. Tomorrow I saw Jeff scheduled the Alesmith Tony Gwynn beer for the opening day of the baseball season. That's woo-hoo. That's a good touch, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right, next story here. Let's see where everyone comes down on this. Stone releases beer made with treated sewage water. San Diego Stone Brewing, the nation's ninth largest brewery, has unveiled a beer made with treated sewage water. The recycled water pale ale is called Full Circle. Stone made 5 barrels of the beer using water treated at the city's pure water demonstration plant, according to Times of San Diego. San Diego officials hope to purify enough recycled water by 2035 to handle 1/3 of the city's drinking water supply.
I think it's a great marketing stunt. Because I think that people drink sewer water a lot more than you think you do.
Yeah, I think I'd have absolutely no problem with it at all. I mean, that's the whole point of having the technology to do that. It's just water after they treat it.
Yeah, I guarantee you, you go and you find a fresh spring or you find a super regulated water plant that has like 1,000 like different tests that happen on it. I'd rather drink the water from the treated plant because I guarantee you that it's going to be a lot safer.
Well, isn't there like something that circulate around the internet? I don't know if it's true or not, but that like there are molecules of, it's quite possible that you are drinking molecules of Hitler's urine and stuff because like all of that just keeps on getting like recycled into the water table or whatever. Look it up. I'm telling you, it's a thing.
Brewer Steve Gonzalez, who created Full Circle, admits to being skeptical at first, but says it ended up being one of his favorites. Among the pale ales that I've had, it's probably in the top 3, he told KGTV.
He also made the other 2, for the record.
Adding, he gets some caramel notes, some tropical fruit notes. It's a very clean-tasting beer.
Well, I mean, like, water quality is obviously super important for any brewery, and I think it's something they all have to perfect, right? And I'm sure this beer is perfectly safe, but if I handed it to you and said this is from recycled sewage water, you're gonna give like a funny look before you drink it. I bet. I'm sure it'll be fine, but I don't know. Yeah. I'm a little, you know, I'll try it, but anything.
It was like the time that rogue guy gave me a beer that was made with the yeast from his beard. Oh God. The sip of that first sip of that beer was, I was about ready to puke, even though the beer tasted fine, but you know, that's just,
it's in your head.
Yeah, it is.
It gets to you.
But I'm sure we're going to see more of this. I mean, we're in California. We've had big drought problems for years. Now we have plenty of rain, apparently. But I mean, like long term, I bet we're going to see more and more places doing this because there's a lack of water. You see the number of breweries in Southern California, whatever. They need this water, and they're going to have to get it from somewhere. So I'm sure they're not the last brewery to do this.
You know, I think it's probably even might be better than a lot of the other breweries' water because they're getting it. I mean, it sounds strange, but they're getting it fresh from the source. I mean, if they're the first people to have access to this treated water, I mean, it's like the purest water you could probably get at that point.
Not to mention, I kind of feel like this is a bad analogy, but along the same lines of like the airlines that had the crash is the safest airline to fly the next day. Yeah. It's kind of like if people know that it's sewer water, you bet your bippy that they're going to have treated it like perfectly so that it is completely potable.
I'm going to bet my bippy.
And finally, I have here the top 50 craft brewing companies by sales volume. I'll give you number one, Yuengling and Sons, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Now, that's bordering on not being craft anymore.
Right. So
Sam Adams, number two.
Sam Adams, number two, Boston Beer Company. Anyone guess number three?
Sierra Nevada.
Yes. Yeah. Number four?
Stone.
No. I already told you it was number nine.
Oh, I bet Stone's number nine.
You're right.
I don't know.
I'm going
Goose Island.
New Belgium.
Yes.
Nice.
Woo. Shinerbach.
Number five is Gambrinus in San Antonio, Texas. It probably is Shinerbach.
Never even heard of it.
Duvel, Mortgut, Paso Robles, Kansas City, Cooperstown. You know, those breweries.
Bell's. Paso Robles only because they bought Firestone.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying they're located. Firestone's their biggest asset. Kansas City Boulevard, number two. Cooperstown, Omegang. You know, you can just see the location the brewery is in. So that's because it's a conglomerate. Bell's, Deschutes, Stone, Oscar Blues, Brooklyn, and the list goes on. Top 50 overall brewing companies, not craft. Anheuser-Busch, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Miller Coors, number two. Pabst, number three. Yuengling, number four. North American Breweries, Rochester, New York. Boston Beer, number six. Sierra Nevada, number seven. And then from there, it goes down the list. So you can see where they stack up on the overall picture. Pretty interesting. All right, let's get into one more beer before the break. We had our pale ale, we had our IPA, and now we're going to go double IPA.
We're going DIPA now.
DIPA from the Ripa series.
One of our favorite breweries.
For sure.
And Ripa stands for Rotational Imperial India Pale Ale Series.
This will be my first experience with Melvin.
Ooh.
He said a lot of good things about it.
Yeah, their killer bees is killer.
I would say 2x4 or their IPA are killer. But wow. Killer Bees is good for this.
Tons of head on the pour.
This beer's way clear, or it looks pretty clear.
Big old frothy head.
I even tried to pour it carefully, and there's just a ton of head in ours.
Nice foamy white. This is your standard golden color beer. Very light carbonation.
I think the aroma is pretty, definitely hoppy and a little dank.
Yep.
I'm getting a touch of caramel as well.
Yeah,
agreed. Like
there's something a little bit sweet in that.
10%.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
9%.
Well, 9%.
Yeah, it is 9%.
10% with an asterisk.
So, taste-wise, I get some tropical fruit, and I don't know if everybody's going to agree with me here, but I get like tea leaves.
Nope, I do agree with you.
Do you?
Yes. It has like a kind of tannic drying thing that tea leaves do. I agree with you.
Good.
Like black tea.
I'm glad. Yeah, some kind of tea. Like it's not there's no citrus. Well, maybe a little bit of citrus in this, but it's like some IPAs out there have this flavor of like tea leaves that makes it really smooth. And I think it contributes to the balance of the beer. And I really like that flavor in an IPA.
I don't know if it's my taste buds tonight, but every beer I've had, it just seems so dry out of these three. This one's the driest of all. And I feel like I'm getting thirstier the more I drink.
No, it definitely does like dry you out. It's desiccating. I know Dallas is waiting for it.
I'm surprised at the low bitterness of this beer. Like, it's gonna, you know, it's hoppy. It's a double IPA. You expect bitterness, but it's not overly bitter.
I'm not sure that I would guess 10%. I think that it masks the alcohol pretty well.
9%.
Sorry, 9%. Damn it.
But yeah, no, totally agree. Yeah, well masked. It doesn't. It's not overpowering to me at all. Even if I'm not a huge fan of it, it's just not my style.
So this beer is, I don't feel like we're giving it justice of how unique and complex this beer is. And the first thing I'll say about it is the mouthfeel. It coats your mouth and it is laying out a ton of flavor. Like you said, there is that little bit of tea flavor, but there are so many like organic and like flower and earthy tones to this, as well as a really good hop bitterness that doesn't stay too long. It's almost like the sweetness allows it to hit you and stay there, but not be too drastic.
I know that we've said that it's kind of drying and it's got a really dry finish, but I also feel like it's a little bit oily, and not in a bad way. But the thing that I've noticed is that the bitterness doesn't stick around, but the aftertaste does. Like it's sticking around, but when I'm exhaling with my mouth closed after probably, I don't know, 15 seconds after my last sip of this beer, I'm getting, I think what Joel was alluding to, like a lot of floral notes that's there like way after the bitterness is gone. Very unique.
If you close your eyes and drink this and someone told me it was a dark amber color and it was thick and had like a real thick head, I'd be like, yeah, that's probably what this beer is. But it's lighter than what it tastes.
I say this a lot, but I feel like it is very well crafted. Yep. There's a lot of flavors in there that you can kind of the more sips I have, the more flavors I can pick out. It's still not my favorite style, but I can appreciate it. And we mentioned earlier the lack of alcohol taste to this 9% beer, and I think that is a testament to, you know, the amount of craft they put into it.
See that a lot with Melvin.
What I notice is it's not really like a West Coast style. It's not really East Coast style. And I'm not saying that's because of the geography in Wyoming where this is from, but I think there's a good amount of malt to this beer. It's like a doughy, bready, a little bit of sweetness. And I think that sweetness really like prevents the hoppiness. The bitterness from coming through. It's not bitter at all. And Britton, when you say it's oily, I think that's the same mouth coating that Joel is referring to. I mean, there's a lot of hops in here, but there's also a really good amount of malts, which you would expect for a 9% double IPA, but it's so well balanced. Like, this is very drinkable. Even people that don't love double IPAs, I think, can appreciate the quality of this beer.
Absolutely. Like everyone knows, this is not necessarily Steve and my alley, but I can definitely appreciate this beer, and I'm really glad that we had it tonight.
Yeah, I'm happy that Tavor shipped me 7 more of these.
Nice.
Well, you know, we should mention before we finish this beer, the name Asterisk. I had to look this up on the can. I guess that's looking it up, because I didn't know the story. When this beer came out, I didn't know what the name really meant. And we had Melvin IPA, we had 2x4, we had a couple of their beers.
Killer Bees.
Killer Bees. So Asterisk, just so everybody, you know, our listeners know what this means, is Melvin won a GABF gold medal. I think it was for 2x4.
It was.
It was either for 2x4. It was 2x4, right?
Yep.
And then the next year, they were not invited back. And so they create this beer with an asterisk to basically signify that I think they think they would have won had they been invited. It's pretty clever. I like the like the can and the marketing, but that's sort of the story of why it's called Asterisk, because whoever won that next year when they weren't invited, they're putting an asterisk after it because they would have won in their opinion.
I wonder why they didn't get invited back. That's kind of weird.
They're a little bitter.
Political.
Just a little though. All right, well, that concludes the pale section of the show. When we come back, we have the stout section with a caramel stout and two imperial stouts, plus comments from you guys, the listeners. We'll be right back. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you like this podcast and the Beer of the Day website, one of the best things you can do to support us is by participating in all that we do. Every single day, we feature a different beer as the Beer of the Day. And if you're a member of the Beer of the Day website, you sign up, you can leave comments on the beer, you can rate the beer. It will keep track of what your highest rated beers of all time are, allow you to interact with all the other Beer of the Day users. We also have this thing where you put in your email address or your cell phone number, and we will email you or text you the Beer of the Day every single day. It includes the description of the beer, the picture, and you can even, on the text message, you could respond with 5 or 3 or 0. They will update your rating on the website automatically. You can respond on the text message with a comment. It'll automatically say, oh, it's this guy's phone number, and post it under your account on the website. And I spent a lot of time coding all this shit, so utilize it.
I text pictures a lot.
Yes, Britton does. We also are on social media. Facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. We post it there every day. You can like our stuff there, comment on it, and then share it with your friends. You hit the share button, spit it out to all your people, and then they can come and like us, visit the website, sign up. It spreads the word. Twitter, @BeerOfTheDay. Jeff posts it every single day on Instagram, @BeerOfTheDaySite.
And he takes lovely pictures.
He does. Jeff takes 90% of the pictures of Beer of the Day, beers of the day, and does a good job there. So Instagram, wherever you are, Beer of the Day is there. And so like us, follow us, comment, participate. We appreciate it. Welcome back to the show. Strange brew segment. We try to find a strange one. This is a salted caramel stout from Breakside Brewery in Portland, Oregon. It's made with caramel and sea salt. I thought it was a little strange. I don't know how much saltiness is going to be in here. That's going to determine how strange this is.
Sounds delicious.
We will shortly find out. Cascading ahead going on here.
Breakside Brewery. Did we go there?
We did go there.
Where was that at?
It's in Portland, I think.
I know that. Oh. What day was this? Is the last one we went to?
Oh yeah, this is like right before the airport.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
And this is the one where they served us the spicy chili beer.
And then said you were wrong.
They said, I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is the hot tamale. And they're like, no, sir. That's the something else. I'm like, it's burning my mouth.
Yes. And then
it was absolutely no way that's possible. And then, oh, wait, the lines are crossed.
Yeah.
And no shit.
At that point, when you're drinking for 3 days straight and you've had like 60 different beers, you have enough heartburn that when you taste that hot tamale beer, whatever it was some sort of Chipotle tamale beer.
It's probably the hottest beer I've ever had.
You know for a fact your heartburn kicks in and says, yeah, this is not just a standard beer.
In a 3 day period, I don't think I'd ever eaten and drinking more in my life in a 3 day period. And my body was just rejecting everything from that point on.
We really
no more
must
food,
have...
no more beer, taking 3 Prilosecs a day for the heartburn.
We must have had 100,000 calories like while we were there.
So one of the things I like about this, and the brewery was nice. It's a great place to get a drink. I remember liking the setup a lot, but I like this a lot. It looks like a nice label where you just turned in the local thief in your town and you got a reward of $5,000. And now you're getting your reward by drinking this beer because it's like a reward poster. So it's nice.
It does look good.
It's like old timey label on there.
Yeah, I like it.
And the beer, yeah, I mean, it's a super dark brown color. I guess we would expect that from a salted caramel stout. Does it have any red highlights? Yeah. A little bit, maybe?
Yeah,
it does.
A little bit.
In fact, a pretty thick tan colored head.
Mine's pretty thin.
Kind of smells like a brownie to me. Like a not real chocolate, not overly chocolatey aroma, but like a baker's chocolate, maybe.
Yeah, I would say I'm actually not getting any caramel on the aroma.
I think I am.
Or salt.
You think you are?
Yeah, a little bit of salt.
What does salt smell like?
Ocean.
You're getting a lot of the chocolate malt smell on it. Like,
it smells great.
Yeah.
A little earthy on the first sip for me. I would have expected more sweetness, but it's kind of mellow.
No, you're right. Initially, there's some earthy hop flavors, which tend, when I drink these types of beers that have that flavor, it's usually like on the back end, but that's really like right at the beginning is the earthy hops. And then later you get the coffee, the toffee, like the burnt malt flavors that you would expect for this type of beer. I like it. My first sip was enjoyable. I mean, it's not too salty, but I get little hints of the salt where it's just the right amount. I mean, when I try this beer, I immediately think of like, ice cream that has like a salted caramel ice cream. And then there's a little bit of that. It's not too sweet, but there's just the right amount of saltiness.
When you say coffee and toffee and burnt malt, that all rings true to me. But caramel is a little bit of a lighter flavor than toffee and coffee. And I'm not getting too much caramel here. And I don't get the salt I'm not getting either. So it's interesting. It's not a bad tasting beer, but it's not quite as advertised when I take a sip.
I agree with Dallas. I'm not getting any saltiness and I'm a salt fiend too. Like I put salt on everything, but I'm not getting, and maybe that's why I'm not getting any salt. I don't know. I'm not getting any caramel. I think it kind of tastes like a brownie. I think it's more chocolatey than anything else, but even that is very reserved and underpowered.
I would say, you know, agreeing with both of you, it's a very good stout. I'm just not getting the salted in the caramel.
I think it tastes more like a porter. Yep. Like it's just,
yes,
everything is really like dialed back.
Exactly what I was thinking before you said it was that what the first thing that stood out to me about this beer was the, I guess the road would be said, the drinkability of it. It's very smooth. It's very light. It doesn't, I mean, it's so unique in terms of they're saying it's a stout. It doesn't have those dark, heavy, thick, stout qualities. It's almost a light drinker. I mean, if there was a Coors Light of stouts, I mean, that's what we're drinking right now with a lot of flavor built in. But I mean, just in terms of the mouthfeel of it, it's just real easy to drink.
And I'm not sure what this costs, but I imagine for a very similar beer, I'd like to compare this to a Black Butte. Deschutes Black Butte Porter, because I think it tastes very similar to
it. I think it does too. And that's what I was thinking of when I was like, I think it's more portery than stout, is I was thinking of Black Butte too.
It might have a little bit more of the malty and chocolate flavor to it than the Black Butte Porter does. But it's not far off. And I'm guessing this is a, you know, $9 to $10 bottle of beer. And I think you're going to get a similar taste from a Black Butte Porter from Deschutes.
I mean, for the most part, I agree with you guys, but I do get some saltiness in the finish, and I don't know if it's mental because I'm looking at the bottle and I'm supposed to taste some saltiness. I don't get the caramel, but I do get salt, and it's not overwhelming. It's somewhat subtle, but in the finish, it sort of this lingering saltiness, like I just got out of the ocean swimming, and I can taste that salt in my mouth that sort of just is there that I don't get from a normal stout.
Yeah, the more it warmed up, I think I did detect a little bit more of that on the aftertaste.
I think that's where the earthiness flavor comes from, though. I mean, salt is that, you know, real earthy kind of taste to it. So I think that's where we're picking up on that.
Well, it'll be interesting when we go into our next stout, which is a breakfast stout. I mean, it's hopefully it's a true stout. We'll be able to compare the two.
Hopefully, but before we get to that.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. On our last show, we did Amarilla Gorilla from Smog City, JM562. Hey, Juan.
Hey, Juan.
On the website. One of many Smog City's delicious beers. I could drink this IPA all day long. I pick up a few bottles when visiting the brewery. Such a good beer. I've been thinking about that one ever since the last podcast, which was a couple weeks ago.
And yeah, that was a good beer, I think. Did I have that one?
Yes.
I remember liking it.
Oh, really good. We featured a week ago or so the Revelation Stout from Public House Brewing Company. Now, this was not a podcast beer, right, Jeff?
No, this is one that I had when I was in St. Louis a few weeks ago.
Okay, so
picked it up there.
Public House Brewery responded to our tweet on Twitter. On Twitter, we are at Beer of the Day. And they said, like an apple a day, right? Beer of the day keeps the doctor away, too.
Nice.
Agreed.
I kind of like that. And then on Instagram, All the Stout said, is this because I followed you today? Well, cheers. That's right, All the Stouts. We featured that stout because we knew you started following us, and we wanted to make sure that there was a stout on the site for you. Thanks for the comment. Facebook.com/beer of the day. We had Strawberry Milkshake IPA from Tired Hands Brewing Company back on March 9th. That one generated a huge amount of likes and comments. I think everyone loves milkshakes, so you call a beer the Strawberry Milkshake IPA. I think that bodes well.
It brings all the boys to the yard.
Amy Lothamer Carter. One that I am so ISO in search of. Yeah, that's a tough one to get. I think we were pretty lucky to get our hands on that one. But popular beer. So if you can get your tired hands on that one, definitely seek that out. If you have any comments, you can post them on any of the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or leave them right on the website, beerofthedaycom. All right, let's get into the next beer. We have the Hogwaller Scramble Imperial Stout.
Makes me think of breakfast.
Yeah.
Because it says scramble.
And hog.
It's also a breakfast stout.
The breakfast stout, is that what it says?
It's what it says in the can.
It makes sense for the name. Champion Brewing Company, Charlottesville, Virginia. Home to Monticello and Thomas Jefferson.
So warning to all the listeners, when you open this bottle, this can, be careful because they must fill it to maximum capacity because it just carbonated. Blew up. Well, it's not carbonated. I think they just fill it to the brim. So when the little tab goes down, it blows up out.
Anderson Valley does that with Winter Solstice consistently. And it always blows up on me whenever I open a Winter Solstice can.
When Joel poured my glass, I wasn't sure I had any liquid. I thought it was just all foam. but it's cascading very nicely into a nice brown-colored stout here.
Yeah, everybody's pour had a lot of head on it.
I mean, mine looks a lot like the last beer. It's super dark. It's almost black in color. The head is like a khaki tan, like light brown, pretty thick and foamy. I mean, it looks good. It's got that sort of oily slickness to the head that I like in a stout.
Okay, I mean, these two aromas are not related at all. But when my initial sniff, I immediately thought of mint chocolate chip ice cream.
I get that too.
And then I went back. Really, I went back for a second one, and I sniffed longer, and the mint chocolate chip ice cream turned into maple syrup.
I think you're spot on. Yeah, two very valid really assessments.
Good. I'm not getting a lot of syrup, but
They don't. They're not related. But I'm getting like a little a mapley thing. Maybe it's the breakfast in my head.
It does. It has like a menthol-y type of aroma, and I think maybe that's the mint.
So, yeah, this is what I'm getting. I'm getting a molten chocolate cake with a mint leaf and a raspberry on top. That's the smell I'm getting.
I'm hungry.
I agree.
Wow, taste it. I think the mint chocolate chip theme continues. It kind of tastes like mint chocolate chip ice cream.
I'm
a lot of mint for sure. Cooling effect.
Very.
I'm like,
it's like we had a beer a few, maybe the last podcast or maybe two podcasts ago, where I thought it had like that Andes mint candies taste. And this has a little bit of that same taste.
I don't know
what beer that was.
I've never said this on a podcast before, so this might go horribly. But
awry.
Yeah, this is not going to. Does anybody get like a clay taste? Like, I'm trying to describe, it's like a chalky clayness to it.
The it does have a chalky mouthfeel. That's for sure.
I actually think I'm with you on this one, Joel. It's kind of like, no one's going to know what this is, but if you're in Europe at all and you're having problems with your stomach, they give you something called Smecta. And I always described it as like licking a tennis court. But if you chew Tums, if you set aside, and it's not just the consistency of it, like if you set aside whatever flavor Tums you're chewing, the chalk does like have a taste. And I think I agree with you on the clay thing.
It's like a little bit of a resiny taste, or like a rusty kind of taste to it. I mean, a little bit metallic, but that the menthol flavor or mint flavor, whatever you want to call it, balances it out real nice too. Just gives it a real clean finish.
It's a lot of after dinner mint to me, like those little chocolate things with the green wrapper that they give you.
The Andes.
Yeah, those are Andes.
Yeah. Where is Andy?
Yeah, we're
thinking the same thing. yeah, I agree, and I wish I would have said the chalky thing now, because it's all I'm focusing on, but it is not a. It's. I don't want anybody to be off put by that. It's just a part of the mouth feel. It's not like something that's overwhelming the whole flavor profile.
Aside from the mint, I feel like I'm also getting something a little bit herbal or medicinal about it.
It kind of ties them together. I mean, it's
just, yeah. Well, I'll throw something out there. I don't know if you guys have. If everybody's had this, but like if you're in the South in New Orleans and you have coffee with chicory, I sort of get that chicory flavor in this beer.
Yeah, that's what
anybody
I was
else?
It's like the malts are like very, very toasted here, and it kind of does have that like real kind of smoked meat, maybe like a smoked wood, liquid smoke, even kind of flavor backbone.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah.
Well, I was also just thinking that. In contrast to the previous one we had, that stout, where I said it was very easy drinker, I mean, this one is much more of a traditional stout. It's heavier, a little thicker. Coats your mouth a lot more.
And I don't think it's sweet. Like, there's a little bit of coffee, a little bit of chocolate, and we talked about the mint, but it's not a sweet stout. It's like a... Yeah. It's like a pleasant, and I don't like beers that are overly sweet. This is a what I would like to drink when I'm trying a stout.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to have more than one can of this in one sitting, but I really do enjoy this beer. It's just complex. It's got a lot going on. The mint and the medicinal qualities of it are, you know, they're complex and they're fun to enjoy.
All right, well, let's get into the final beer of the night, number 6. We have Plead the Fifth Imperial Stout from Dark Horse Brewing Company, Marshall, Michigan.
If you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11.
And then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
And this one goes to 11.
11%. Good loud.
I plead the fifth.
You know, that sound clip is great because it gives us time to pour the beer. And we don't have to, like, talk about, you know, come up with random things to say while, you know, it pours. So it works out.
Plead the Fifth Imperial Stout from Dark Horse.
This guy, if Dark Horse is a testament to the color of their beer, might be the darkest beer I've ever seen in my life.
I'm surprised how dark the head is.
It's like a black hole.
So I always say, oh, it's very dark, and there's little highlights peeking through. Oh, there's no highlights.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing. It's black.
The head looks like chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, it does. And
it is super dark.
Pretty boozy aroma out of it.
Yeah, it smells fantastic. It smells like molasses and oats.
It smells like molasses and banana.
I get a little dark cherry in the aroma too. Can you get that?
Yes.
Yeah, getting that banana. Man, nailed it. I don't know if you guys had a mother who had banana bread, and then she had those bananas that had been like sitting on the counter for like 6 weeks, and they're all dark and crap. That's what that banana smell tastes like. It's that fermented, dark banana smell.
It smells awesome.
So the head had dissipated down to nothing, and then I took a sip, and then it foamed back up to two fingers.
It never had a lot of head to begin with on the pour. I mean, it's the least head out of all the stouts tonight. But yeah, mine did kind of the same thing.
So first sip, my initial reaction is that if you told me I was drinking a cold shot of cappuccino or shot of espresso, I would believe you. I don't taste the alcohol necessarily. It tastes like really good coffee.
I taste the alcohol, but not like in an overpowering way. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying with that kind of espresso-y taste.
I think
dark and roasty.
I think the alcohol is well hidden for 11%. If you tell me this is 11%, I tell you to get the hell out.
I mean, but in the mouthfeel, it's a little chewy. A lot of Russian Imperial Stouts have that chewy sort of texture to it. And I sort of get that here. Maybe that's the 11%. But after you take a sip, it's got this mouth coating and the chewiness where you're just like smacking your lips because you can still taste it.
It's like you took a Tootsie Roll with a shot of espresso, threw it in your mouth, chewed it all together, spit it back out in the cup, put a little bit of alcohol in it, and put it back in your mouth. That's what this tastes like.
That's what I do every Wednesday. <That's> amazing. Nailed it.
I also get like really dark chocolate cake. Like,
yes.
Like thick.
Like dense chocolate
dense
cake.
Chocolate
yeah,
cake.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, that's what a stout is. I mean, when I'm thinking of a stout, it's like you're chewing your beer. And that's what even like just shocked me even more about the salted caramel earlier. I guarantee you try that again right now, you're gonna be like, I don't even know it's there.
It would probably taste watery compared to this one.
Yeah,
like,
and this is a thick, creamy stout.
And there's some fruitiness. I mean, there's some dark fruits here, but yeah, you guys are all right. Everything you said, this is what a stout should be. That thickness, the mouthfeel. I mean, it's chocolate cake, it's the malts, it's the burnt flavors. I mean, this is a beer you sip. I'm surprised to see this in a 12-ounce bottle. This is something I would expect in maybe a different format. But I really enjoy this beer. This is a really nice, I think, depiction of this style of beer.
I'm actually getting like kind of along the lines of like the dark fruit, some fig. And the last sip I just took kind of reminded me of a rum cake. So maybe like the booziness is starting to come out a little bit.
Yeah, I was, when Dow said chocolate cake, and then I first thing I thought on my next sip too was rum cake immediately.
Yeah.
It's like you have a super double chocolate cake with some rum in there somewhere, and that's kind of what you're getting out of this.
Yeah, that's good.
Generally, when someone is pleading the fifth, they're guilty, but they don't want to incriminate themselves. What is this beer guilty of?
Being delicious.
Guilty of being awesome.
Yeah.
It's being boozy.
Yeah, it's guilty of being boozy. They're trying to hide it, but it's there. The booze are there, and they hide it well.
It's there. They're trying to hide it, but
I think they did a good job, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's hidden. I mean, I don't think they're trying to hide it. I mean, it's boozy from start to finish. It's a strong beer.
Yeah.
And if you drink one of these by yourself, I mean, you're going to be feeling it big time afterwards.
You'd be schlitzed.
This is the kind of beer, I don't know, like for me, it's like I imagine my grandpa is like has this glass of beer sitting by the fire. And like I go over and take it, and he looks at me and he says, hey, be careful. Like this beer is like no joke.
Watch yourself, young buck.
Yeah, exactly. That's not Dr. Pepper, son.
All right, well, man.
I plead the fifth.
Oh. Oh, man. Well, that's it. The six are done. Six is a good number to have because once you get to seven or eight, you're starting to feel it a little bit, and maybe you don't do, we don't, we're not as good on the last two.
The production quality isn't quite there.
Dallas, why don't we go to 11?
Yeah.
One day we will.
I think after the show's over, we should have one more beer just for fun. But before that, let's recap the beers we've had, and then we'll pick our favorite beer of the day. Britton.
Alrighty, we started off with the X-Hop Series Gold Pale Ale from Toppling Goliath Brewing Company. We moved on to Steal This Can IPA from Lord Hobo. The Asterisk Deepa from Melvin Brewing Company was the third one we had, followed by Salted Caramel Stout from Breakside Brewery. We had the Hogwaller Scramble Imperial Stout. That was the breakfast stout from Champion Brewing Company. And finally, we had Plead the Fifth Imperial Stout from Dark Horse Brewing Company out of Marshall, Michigan.
I have no idea what I'm going to pick. So, Joel, really spin this wheel hard because I need some time.
I almost sprained my wrist.
Jeff is first tonight.
That's rare that I'm first. So I have mixed feelings on this. I have a favorite from the first half and a favorite from the second half. I would normally go with the Asterisk because I really enjoyed that beer, but it probably wasn't my favorite Melvin beer that I've ever had. So I'm going to skip that, and I'm going to pick Plead the Fifth from Dark Horse, the last beer that we just had. I think this was an excellent beer. Dallas picked this up and gave me a bottle, which I really appreciate, that I'm going to drink this whole bottle myself. It's what I look for in a stout. All the complex flavors, really phenomenal taste. So I'm going with the last beer, Plead the Fifth Imperial Stout.
Britton.
So for me, it was between the X-Hop Series Gold Pale Ale. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was incredibly balanced. The bitter with the sweet, it was hoppy, it was juicy. That's not normally the style of beer that would be my favorite, but I really enjoyed having it. But I'm going to go with what you guys know I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Plead the Fifth. Everything that Jeff said, it's exactly what I'm looking for in a stout, and all the other descriptors that he mentioned.
So I'm going to be short and sweet on my beer of the day. There are some of these beers that we have doubles of that are in the refrigerator. The best part about it is I get to choose of what I'm going to drink next. I'm going to go and get the Asterisk Double IPA from Melvin because I know we have an extra one in the refrigerator, and that is the next beer I'm going to drink because it was that damn good. That's all I'm going to say.
Got seven of them.
I'm torn.
That was the inside joke.
I'm actually not torn.
Wait, let me explain it. So, last time on this show, three people said they were torn at the end, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna put something in. So every time someone says torn, now I'm gonna play Natalie and Bruglia.
I had to make sure Dal got his Natalie and Bruglia in there. I'm not torn at all, and you guys are gonna be surprised at what I'm not torn over. The X-Hop Series Gold was hands down my favorite beer tonight.
Whoa.
It was a great, great beer. I mean, like Britton mentioned, it had the bitterness, had the sweetness, very well balanced, very easy to drink. I would drink that any day. I love stouts. That one, far and away, took the cake for me today.
I am torn because he makes a great point there. The X-Hop Series, what a great pale. It's hard to argue with that. I'm going to agree with Joel though. Asterisk Double IPA. Really smooth, 9%, very drinkable, not boozy for me at all. Low, not super bitter, but a lot of upfront hoppiness. but it balanced with the malt very well. For some reason, Melvin, their double IPAs really work for me, work for my palate. So Asterisk is my beer of the day.
I think this panel picked the top three beers out of the six, honestly. For sure. Like, the Asterisk was really good. I liked it. I'm not a deeper person, obviously, but I was glad I had that one, and it was really complex. You could get a lot out of that beer, which was nice.
Lord Hobo maybe got the raw end of the deal because the beer has been in the fridge a little while. We have two more Lord Hobo beers that we got recently. They're fresh. We got to make sure we have those on a show coming soon so that we give them the best opportunity. And since this was our 69th show,
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69. Standing on your mama's porch.
And we will get out of here tonight, but we thank you for tuning in and remind you to check out our website, beerofthedead.com. Leave your comments. Follow us on Twitter at Beer of the Day, on Instagram at Beer of the Day site, and on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. If you want to help us out, shop on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. Go to the Beer of the Day website. On the right-hand side, there's an Amazon banner. You click that, do your shopping, and we're going to get a little bit of commission for that. So that's going to help us out also. We'll see you next week. For Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Steve Williamson, and Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Helliker. This has been the Beer of the Day podcast.